Well, we're starting Paul's second letter in the scripture to the Corinthians. And I'm going to read the first 11 verses. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in all Achaia. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our comfort or consolation also abounds by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Whether we be comforted, is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as you are partakers of the sufferings, so shall you also be of the consolations. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. He also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by means of many persons, thanksgiving may be given by many on our behalf. Paul typically begins his letters, and that was typical of the age, is they didn't usually just wait to sign a letter at the end and find out who it was from. But he started with his name, and then to whom it was written. And here he says, he asserts again his apostleship. That was an issue at Corinth. That it was that by God's will. And he connects Timothy with the letter as well. And it was to the church at Corinth, as well as the region in which Corinth was the capital of Achaia, around that area. And typically he begins his letter by grace and peace. The greeting that was typical among the Greeks of grace, and among the Jews of shalom, of peace, from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. But here, usually in his letters, he starts with a thanksgiving. You know, I thank the Lord for this or for you or this. Twice, though, he starts it with, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. This book, this letter, and Ephesians. And in Ephesians, he's occupied with all the spiritual blessings that we have in Christ Jesus. And he says, wow, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here, he's occupied with the comfort, but it's in the midst of suffering. And if you want to enlightening thing, get your concordance, look up for the New Testament words such as affliction, suffering, persecution, tribulation. You're going to find almost every letter talks a lot about that. That the believers expected to suffer. Acts 14:22 Let me just read it. Paul is talking to them. I think it's Paul. Yes, they were confirming the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter the kingdom of God. We saw on Wednesday night how you had to be born again to see or enter the kingdom of God. But here, when believers trusted in Christ, the first thing they told them, expect to suffer. Expect that this is the normal thing, that to enter into the kingdom of God through much suffering. You remember when the Lord talked about the seed being sown in the ground? The one seed was sown on rocky soil. And it said it's immediately sprung up. But as soon as the sun came up, it withered. And the Lord says, that's like people who say they believe. But as soon as they're tested for their faith, as soon as the trouble comes, they wither. And it proves whether the faith was real or not. Now, Paul here, in these verses that we read, talks about we as believers are going to suffer. And you know, in our country, in our day growing up, most of us, we've had freedom of religion. We've had freedom of speech. We haven't suffered much to say we're believers. You know, if you ask somebody if they're a Christian, they'd say, of course, what do you think, I'm a heathen? I mean, that's the extent. But to suffer, you know, back in this day, first couple hundred years, in the eyes of the world, the only good Christian was a dead Christian. And to be put on the spot, are you a Christian? Then say, Caesar is Lord. And the believers say, I can't say Jesus. Caesar is Lord. Only Jesus is Lord. And they could suffer the consequences for it. Trials and temptation have been the lot of believers from the very beginning. We see it in the Old Testament. Daniel. God didn't prevent him from being thrown into the den of lions. The three, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, God did not stop them from being thrown into the fiery furnace, heated seven times as hot. He did deliver them miraculously. But I love their answer when Nebuchadnezzar said, you bow to me. They said, our God is able to deliver us. You know, we're not so sure he is. He will. He may not. But even if he doesn't, we're not bowing down to your gods. We would rather suffer and be faithful to him than to bow down to idols. And here, Paul doesn't bless the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, Father of mercies, God of all comfort, because we're going through suffering. But it's because he comforts us in all our trouble, in all our tribulation. The word consolation and comfort comes from the same word as when the Lord says, I'll send you another comforter. When the Lord was here, he was the disciples' comforter. The word means helper, called alongside, comfort, encourage, advocate. He was the one. But when he said, I won't leave you orphans, I'll send you another comforter, the Holy Spirit. Comes to live within us, in us, and he is our helper, our comforter. But you know, the Trinity again, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort. And he doesn't just comfort us to make us comfortable. He comforts us to make us comforters. The world, the idea of suffering, pain, and all that. You know, you go to the drugstore and you find pain relief. Oh, you can have all these things to have pain relief. Because to the world, pain is bad. Everything about pain and suffering is bad, and we do everything we can to stop pain and suffering. And frankly, I'm not advocating for wanting any pain and suffering. But it's not always bad. You know, when you go to a doctor, and the first thing he asks you is, where does it hurt? Because if you didn't have any pain, you wouldn't have any symptoms to know there's something wrong. There's a book by a man, a Dr. Brand, did a lot of work in India among the lepers. And he found out that in his studies of leprosy, was that leprosy deadened the nerves so that you no longer had any feelings. And so that the biggest problem that he dealt with the lepers, was that they had no pain. Because the reason different parts of their... He found out that the reason the different parts of their fingers and all would be gone was because the rats would eat them at night and they couldn't feel it. They couldn't feel the pain. So pain is a God's sensor for us so that we know what to deal with the problem. So it's not always bad. But the world wants to say, stop the pain. We want to say, stop the pain. And there's several reasons in this chapter that it tells us why suffering is good. And the first thing is that when the Lord comes in and shows us and comforts us, when we're in pain and suffering, we hurt. And the Lord, we find out that our Father in heaven is a Father of mercies. And he's a God of all comfort. Day by day, and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here. Trusting in what? My Father's wise bestowment. He is so wise. He knows all. And he has a purpose for all. Amen. And this is why the world looks at pain and suffering, because they see no purpose. And there's no meaning in it. It's just terrible. And often, when they look out at the world and they see all this pain and suffering, some people say, I'm an atheist. I don't believe in God because I can't believe that a good God would ever allow all this suffering and pain and evil in the world. Well, for one thing, if there's no God, then so everything's arbitrary. There's no good, there's no evil. You can't even ask the question. But they see no purpose in it. God has a purpose for it all. And you know what the question they should have asked, really? How could a good God allow his only begotten Son to suffer and die and be treated like that? That's what they should have asked. That's far more difficult a question to answer than that we should get the results that we deserved. You know, the race of mankind from Adam, we deserve We've turned away from God. Our country has turned away from the Lord. Is it a surprise that we should have leaders that should promote things that are anti the Lord? They'll promote killing innocent children and yet take away any penalty for wicked, evil men. Promote all kinds of things that are perverted from the Bible and undermine families and responsibility and having parents in the home and all the things that are good. Is that a surprise? And you know, looking at what the Bible says about the end times, is it a surprise that the globalists should seem to be winning and the lawlessness should be overcoming, in quotes? We know it's only a temporary, but you know, it's going to be headed up by what the Bible calls the lawless one. And the lawless one will have power to decide who eats and or who buys and sells. Who can get their message out on media, and who you can stop. Who you can allow to publish books and who you can't. That's modern day book burning, isn't it? This is what we're seeing. How rapidly we're seeing it. You know, will the Lord come in and put a hedge to it? We don't know. He could. But you know, our attitude ought to be, even if he doesn't, we're going to stand for the Lord. We're going to be like men. You know, Peter talks a lot about suffering for conscience sake, suffering for doing good, suffering for righteousness, suffering for as a Christian. He says, be men. Stand up. Say, the Lord is with me. I'm not afraid. What can man do to me? What can man do to me? So the first thing the Lord comes in, he's with us and comforting us, encouraging us. Paul said over and over, look at the troubles that he went through, even when he's writing this. He says, you wouldn't believe what's been happening to us in Asia. We despaired of life. We thought this was it. We know God could deliver, but the sentence of death was written over us. But then he gives us another reason why, that we would not trust in ourselves, but trust in him who raises the dead. He makes us comforters so that when somebody else goes through the same thing you're going through, and you see it, and you see the suffering, doesn't mean there's no pain, there's no suffering. But God equips us because he comforted us. He showed us what a Father of mercies we have. His kind mercies through, you know, where you think about what he's done and how he's blessed us. He provided the daily food that we needed. He watched over us from how many different ways. And we bless his name for it. But sometimes he puts us to the point where he says, you don't trust in yourself. When you cannot see any way in which God can answer or deliver, that's where your faith is tested. Do you really believe in him at that point? How many times believers have been tested to that point? And they've struggled. And we understand the struggle. Job. You know, Job didn't sing, when his birthday came around, he didn't sing, happy birthday to me. He said, cursed be the day I was born. Jeremiah, he said the same thing. Have you ever gotten to the point in your life where you were so down, you would say, I wish I'd never been born. That's down. That's being depressed. Elijah, Lord, take my life. And this was the one who wasn't going to die. Good thing the Lord didn't answer his prayer. But he said, take my life. I'm ready to go. I can't take it anymore. We can get to that point. Why does God put us to that point? That we don't trust in ourselves. But we trust in the God who raises the dead. That's where the disciples were. At the end of the cross. This is it. We thought that Mitch brought up about Luke 24 and the road to Emmaus. We thought he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. What a mistake. Yeah. They were all downcast. None of them thought of the resurrection. They weren't looking for it. But they found out that he was a God of resurrection. They found out he was true and real. And their faith revived. And God knows how to come in and revive your faith when you're down. To strengthen your faith. To encourage you. To help you up. And you know what? You may find a believer that comes to you just at that moment and says, I know what you feel like. I was there. I was there not long ago. Or you might be the one going through it. And God comforted you and blessed you in it, helped you through it. And now somebody else you run into and they go through the same thing. God says to you, go and be a comforter. And that's what he's saying over and over again in this. God brings these tribulation. It's not by surprise. He knows it. It's my Father's wise bestowment. I can accept that because it comes from his hand. If there was no hope and no purpose and it was meaningless, you know, that's what the world wants you to think. In fact, how many people have killed themselves because they said life was meaningless, it's worthless, there's no purpose in it. The jailer in Philippi was at that point, but he had heard them singing. And he said, what must I do to be saved? That's another reason why. It's not in this section, it's in Philippians 1, where he says that when they see you as a believer going through that suffering, standing firm, joyfully, you know what message it sends to them? To the world? To the very ones who are dominating you, persecuting you? It sends the message to them that you are the winner and they're the loser. That there's a certain fearful judgment coming upon them for how they're treating you. And for them to really think of the reality and truth of Christ in our lives. And here he goes on to, you know, talk about how that what we go through, what we suffer now, it's for your comfort, for your salvation. So don't get discouraged. Don't get lost in it. And he goes on to say how it's partakers of the sufferings of Christ. It's another reason for our suffering is to fellowship with his suffering. Paul says in Philippians 3, to know him, the fellowship of his sufferings. We'll never know. How would you know the comfort of the Father of mercies, and feel a sense of what the Lord went through for us if we never suffered, if we never had the pain? Do you ever know? You never realize how good it is to be well until you're sick. And really, how often do we thank the Lord? Well, Lord, I feel good today. Thank you. But when you're sick, and the worst feeling is being nauseous. That's the worst to me. And you say, oh, Lord, thank you when I'm well. I'm glad I don't have this feeling all the time. But Well, think about what he suffered for us. The pain he went through. More than we will ever. I mean, we're just not, we're wimps when it comes to what the Lord went through. And he went through it willingly for us. Fellowship of his sufferings. That's part of knowing him. And power of his resurrection. That comes out of those sufferings. He's a God of resurrection. He's a God of our hope. You know, as much as you do a concordant study of suffering, affliction, and pain, and tribulation, and persecution, and how many times it's in the New Testament, look up joy and rejoice and those words, and you find just as many. Philippians, joy and rejoicing all through it. And you say, boy, those, they don't seem to go together. But they do when we have a Father of mercies and a God of all comfort. When the Holy Spirit within us is our comforter. When the Lord Jesus is interceding for us. It's fellowship with him. This is the only opportunity we have to fellowship in his sufferings. When we go to be with the Lord, that's all done with. Now is our opportunity to stand for him. Come what may. We don't know what the future will hold in this country. Well, it seems to be in the trend that less and less freedoms for us. And actually we'll end up experiencing are things like believers have in the rest of the world. They've been going through it for years. But here it's fellowship in his sufferings. But he says it's the things we endure. It's for our endurance. The fire, you put the gold in the fire, not to destroy the gold, but to get rid of the dross. It's a refining fire. Paul says, we rejoice in tribulation because it works endurance, patience. Endurance means you're standing fast in it. You're not giving up. The only thing that the fire burnt on the three that were thrown in was their bonds. Notice that? The things that you would say was keeping them from being free. The Lord knows what we need. The trying of our faith, much more precious than gold which perishes, be tried with fire. It doesn't say that there's no suffering involved, but its purpose is not to destroy. God's purpose is to purify. Child training is painful. You know, our children are, they don't want, as much as you say, this is going to hurt you more than me, you know, they don't believe that. It hurts, but it's good for them at the end. It's, if you love them, you train, you teach them, because they're going to become adults. They need to have self-control. They need to be taught that our Father in heaven, he is a good Father. He knows what we need to train us for his purposes, for us. Those of you who have been in the military in a boot camp, I'm sure the sergeant doesn't come in. Everybody have a good night's sleep? Y'all comfortable? Do you have another nice pillow to sleep on? He didn't do that. They try to make it as miserable for you as they can. They're trained to do that. Why? Because they just enjoy inflicting pain? No. They're training you for hardship. Because when you get into combat, you're going to have to face hardship. And it shouldn't be the first time then you have to face it. You train for that. And the Lord uses that illustration for us to be soldiers. To endure hardship. To face the problems that may come. Reading a book about those that were in Russia and in China and the sufferings and their faithfulness. And the man said, look, he says,
we always have freedom of religion. Now, we may have to suffer for it, for speaking the truth. Usually we think of it as the government allows us to speak for the Lord without consequences. But even if there are consequences, we are free to speak for the Lord. We are soldiers. We're called to obey our commander. One is our commander and Lord. And if he says speak, then you speak. He gives the word. We don't ask whether what's the consequences to us. Could soldiers say, what's my duty to do? My duty is to obey my commander. And whatever the consequences, so be it. And that's another reason for trials and training, and it's God's purposes for us. Endurance, building strength. Not wimps. Not those who are ready to give up. And you know what? Trials, tribulation will refine the church. True believers will stand out. Those that are just mere professors will give in. What will we be? You know, I like to think they'll stand, but, you know, I can't trust in ourselves and say, oh, I'm sure, in that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall. But depending on the Lord, give us strength to stand, whatever may come. May the Lord give us grace to be able to deal with whatever he allows to come our way. But he doesn't allow us to do it alone. He is with us. His Spirit is within us. That was brought out this morning. The Lord Jesus is interceding for us. And we say that the Lord is with me. I'm not afraid. What shall man do to me? And the last thing brought out here, he says, when we all go through these things, when we suffer and we experience his comfort, he allows us to comfort others. We see what it works in us, that endurance and patience. We can be a testimony to those around who are lost and have no meaning in their lives. Then we can thanksgiving abounds to God for all his grace to us through that. And that's another reason. More thanksgiving goes to him rather than when everything's easy and comfortable and not difficult. So there's definite blessings associated with it. Brethren, lift up your hands. We have a time of blessing coming forward, maybe. So we'll see. Shall we close in prayer? Lord, we know that within us we don't say, oh, please send the tribulation. But we know, Lord, that there are good purposes for it. And that it's all in your hands, Father of mercies, God of all comfort, and that you will not allow us to be tested beyond what we're able. But you will provide everything that we need. Help us, Lord, to have our arms strengthened, our feeble knees that we want to give up. And we think of those believers who took joyfully the spoiling of their goods because they saw him and the inheritance that you had provided that was not of this world. We thank you, Lord, in your name. Amen.